This week, the Chancellor George Osborne repeated his promise to reform the planning system. He said it was the only practical way to move the economy forward and to free up land for much-needed homes. The government's promising a planning system which will presume approval for new development. And councils are already drawing up their local plans with all of that in mind. For people in the village of East Coker, it means the council has approved a plan to build a new eco-town within the parish borders. It will add up to 10,000 new residents to a village where only 1,800 people live now. Kevin Mosley went there to hear both sides of the argument.
Here's a fact. The entire UK population, now a shade fewer than 62 million people, live in homes built on just over 1% of the landmass.
Watch your head on the very last bit.
Include gardens, and the figure rises to just over 4%. There's more green land around you than you probably imagined.
Wow.
And on a bright but blowy summer's afternoon in the Somerset village of East Coker, I'm looking at some of the best of it.
To the right, you can see Darvel Farm, which is that lovely hamstone farmhouse.
From the tower of the 12th century church, which sits on a rise above the village, locals Amelia Bennett, a second-generation resident, and Marcus Fish, a more recent arrival, are pointing out key features in this peerless panorama.
And you can see what good farmland it is, because look at the colour of the soil there. You can see it's well-drained.
As a setting, it so moved the poet T.S. Eliot that East Coker is both the inspiration and title for the second part of his great work, Four Quartets.
East Coker. In my beginning is my end. In succession, houses rise and fall, crumble, are extended, are removed, destroyed, restored, or in their place is an open field or a factory.
His tangible connection to the village remains. Literally, his ashes are 90 steps below me in the nave.
You can see those roofs in the foreground.
Yeah.
That's where it comes down to.
Right.
You don't need to be Eliot to appreciate the beauty of the tended fields, mature woodland and ancient settlements set in the vale rising towards Dorset.
An example here of how treasured this area is by this art group that's just sitting about us here under the church tower and sketching and painting.
But as tranquil as the scene may be, the residents of the parish of East Coker are troubled.
It's not going to be a community. I mean, it's going to be a massive housing. I bet if you go on the Lufton trading,
The parish borders the southern edge of Yeovil, the economic and political centre of South Somerset. And in October, the district council is set to approve what's called an urban extension. It'll consist of 3,700 new homes inside the parish, which currently has 900 dwellings.
There is no demand for it, actually.
Yeah. If you look around the oval and you were to look around the trade...
No one is against development. It's the proportionality of it, and there just isn't a decent link to the town.
Why should it be, you know, us that has to take one for the team? Why can't they find somewhere that's much more suitable with better road access and better facilities?
It's the epitome of the picture of England, isn't it? With the thatched cottages and the warm hamstone and the mature indigenous trees.
At the district council headquarters, next door to the town's biggest employer, Augusta Westland Helicopters, Lib Dem council leader Rick Pallister explains why the homes are needed.
I'm looking at a housing needs register of over 7,000 now. If you can't afford to live here, and your parents don't live here and you're not stockpiled at home, you have to go and get a job somewhere else. You won't come here. If we starve the industry, then we're going to be in serious trouble because the employers won't stay if there aren't the skills and the people necessary to do the work.
But residents can't understand why the council is insisting on building in East Coker when there's an option in the council plans to put the homes to the north and west, which not only links more closely to the town centre, but also has better transport links. Angus McPhee is chairman of West Coker Parish Council.
That area would have been using Grade 3 agricultural land, as opposed to the Grade 1 that they want to use now. On top of that, there are four perfectly good alternative routes going from the north of Yeovil to join onto the 303, which is the main route into the West Country.
Without taxing your ability to visualise Yeovil, there is a swathe of green land between the town and the A303, and officially it remains an option. But
what we're looking at is a highways infrastructure requirement for that end, which will cost a huge amount of money.
It's an infuriating facet of the current planning environment that while one government department will incentivise councils by paying a fee for every new home, the so-called planning gain, another can penalise you by demanding the council shoulder the costs of upgrading infrastructure.
The Highways Agency will require us to produce a Cloverleaf Junction at the end of the Cartgate link where Yeovil effectively joins onto the 303 on the northwest side. If we trigger a junction overload there and they insist that we pay for the graded junction, what we'll end up with is enormous housing estate, because all the planning gain, all the profit, if you like, from the development, instead of going into the community for your schools, for your shops, for your play and open space, for the necessary internal highways infrastructure and the affordable housing which we so desperately need, it'll have all gone to produce a road network for the people coming down from London heading into Devon. It won't benefit the locals at all, and we'll end up with the worst of all worlds, which is a huge housing estate with no heart and no soul to it.
Rick Pallister says there's no alternative to East Coker because the government insists that any expansion to the town must be joined to it. And with the river to the east, a floodplain to the north and the A303 to the west, it has to be south. He offers to take me to view the potential site. We're in the middle of the English countryside, as English and as countryside as it gets, looking over to where?
What I've done is deliberately brought you up to the top of Coker Court. So we're on the rising ground above the village of East Coker. But it, now you can already see how far Yeovil has come on the southern side. You can see that the village is already affected by development from Yeovil.
You're planning to put, or there is an option to put, 3,700 homes. Now, that's a whole different ballgame.
I don't feel, personally, and I can't speak for the other elected members, I don't feel comfortable with 3,700 on this side. I think we can accommodate less than that, probably around 2,000 to 2,500. But I think we can do it in a way that preserves the setting of this village such that it doesn't get swallowed, it isn't surrounded, and it doesn't feel as if it's got Yeovil now on its doorstep.
You've currently got 900 dwellings in the parish of East Coker. Adding 2,500, I mean, that's more than doubling the homes. It's not inconsiderable swamping, one might say.
We're not proposing that we expand the village of East Coker. The fact that we will cross the parish boundary and come into the parish of East Coker doesn't mean to say that we actually have to come into the village. And indeed, I think it is possible to keep it completely separate. We can set the southern boundary of the town and say it will go no further. And I think we can do that in a way that will resist any challenge from developers or anyone else later on to try and push further in towards East Coker. My aim is to preserve this village, not to swamp it.
None of which mollifies East Coker's residents. They simply don't buy the council vision that a sympathetically designed eco-town will help the village secure its future and prevent it from ossifying into a retirement home, where younger residents can't afford to shell out £500,000 for a place. Marcus Fish, as well as being a resident, is the Conservative member for South Yeovil on the District Council.
In these villages around here, all of them are perfectly willing to see new houses built, but the question is exactly what type and in what sort of scale. These are villages that have grown organically over thousands of years and are what they are because of being allowed to grow in that way.
The council wanted to stick between 2,000 to 4,000 homes on the edge here. How many do you think a village like this could take, should take?
Most of the hamlets could be capable of taking at least 5 or 10 new houses if they are done in a way which is sympathetic with the existing housing stock there.
That's a giant gulf. I mean, you're talking about, if they were all around here to 10 houses each, you'd be talking about 200, not 2,000, which is the minimum they're going to build.
That is what their sort of plan is, but the fact is that the future housing need is just not the same all over the county, just as it's not the same all over the country. And the fact is that in South Somerset, it is really overestimated.
You might expect the local shopkeeper, Paul Morehouse, who moved from Yorkshire, to welcome the prospect of thousands of potential new customers.
development of that size is, I'm sure, going to be taken up by a Sainsbury's, Tesco, Asda, Morrison's, in which case that's probably then going to draw business away from us. We need more business as it is, and for us to have more business taken away from us by one of these large multiples, then we're really going to struggle and it will probably eventually close us.
Do most people in this village, as far as you know, object to it, don't want it? Is there any constituency within here that thinks, yeah, it'd be fantastic?
No, as far as I'm aware, nobody wants it to go ahead. I certainly haven't spoken to anyone who does. I personally don't see why anyone should, from the village, want it to go ahead, because I think it will spoil the rural idyll that we have.
The relevance of the East Coker predicament is that it illustrates how vulnerable rural communities not in the Greenbelt are to development. Beauty offers no protection. Rick Pallister says what's forced his hand is a new planning environment that's encapsulated in the recently published National Planning Policy Framework.
Well, if you read the 150-page document, I think it's 150, it's quite small, that's replacing pretty much all the planning documents, there is one word that comes through all the time. Growth, growth, growth. If you get it wrong, it will be done to you. It's as simple as that. If I don't allow for growth and I'm challenged by a developer, he will be given planning permission to put his development where he thinks is appropriate and not where we do. In other words, we will have lost control of the planning process completely.
The localism bill, due to become law in November, will contain measures which the government says will reinforce the power of local communities to shape their future. But the planning guidelines would seem to suggest that empowerment will come to those who say yes to development, but not no. Especially because councils are being asked to presume in favour of sustainable development. Not what the government supporters in the shires expected at all. Angus McPhee, chairman of West Coker Parish Council.
The story comes out, oh, we've told you that you can now go ahead and do this, that and the other. When the decisions are made, we're told, no, you can only give us advice, you can't actually make the decision. And we certainly find that with developments within the village. We give advice, it isn't necessarily listened to.
So when the government talk about the localism bill and giving power back to the people, are they being disingenuous?
I think they are not telling the whole truth.
In essence, the people of East Coker believe that what drives the proposed development is money. The money that the council will earn from planning gain and the premium paid by developers, which they can then offset against cuts in central funding. The council deny this. Instead, Rick Pallister says he's being bounced into action by a stringent government timetable.
If our core strategy, if our plans for future growth do not balance with what the government says, it will be rejected and we will have no core strategy. If we have no core strategy, then the default answer, the government has made it clear, the default answer to any planning application is yes.
Now the light falls across the open field, leaving the deep lane shuttered with branches, dark in the afternoon, where you lean against a bank while a van passes, and the deep lane insists on the direction into the village. In the electric heat, hypnotized.
This is just such a wonderful dog walking sandy lane. And look at farmers' crops either side, clover that side, wheat that side.
The sunken lanes of East Coker are a particular delight. Ancient pathways dug deep into the landscape and hidden from view by an arch of ancient foliage. If fairies existed, they'd live here.
Probably we'll see loads of speckled wood butterflies.
And where does this end up then?
Well, this ends up at the top part of what's...
The village have garnered much international support by promoting the notion that T.S. Eliot's village will be despoiled by development. But it's important to say that no one is planning on digging up the lanes or placing tangerine-roofed boxes next to the village's beautiful butter-coloured hamstone buildings. The closest the proposed homes will come to East Coker Village is about a mile. West Coker and North Coker will have a rather better view. Angus McPhee again.
We are a hamstone village in just the same way that East Coker is, and there are a number of those villages. These villages have a character all of their own, and the grave danger is if you put in a couple of hundred houses, or in the 3,500 houses as you're looking at for this development, then you are totally obscuring the hamstone villages, which attract people to the area.
In an economic environment where growth is demanded but public funding tight, the government is looking to private industry to kick-start our manufacturing base. That will be undermined if there aren't sufficient homes. As national land use statistics make clear, there's no shortage in the UK. But as ever with property, location matters. Villages like East Coker, on the edge of growing towns but not protected greenbelt, will be vulnerable, especially if the government incentivises councils and developers, which is the case in Yeovil.
Kevin Mosley reporting. And the villagers have made some pictures of what the local landscape looks like now and what it might look like when all those new homes are built. It's a very clever idea, and you can see it. It's up on our website.